This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
And before we get to recruiting and all of that, the transfer portal was a big story yesterday, Cecil. And Anoma in and out. How did Nick Saban satisfy Yabi Anoma and get him to stay on campus?
Well, I don't know what their conversation necessarily was, but in December, on the 17th, Yabi missed a practice and said he had some personal things to sort. Nick said Yabi had some personal things to sort out. So I think it's a combination. Again, I don't speak for him, but players get homesick. They want to play. Yabi played some, certainly, but probably not as much as he wanted to play. And then suddenly, if you look at the time frame of the day that it's when it's obvious Mike Locksley is going to be leaving to go to Maryland, the coach who recruited him. So I think a lot of factors went into that. And so what I suppose, again, I wasn't privy to the conversation, but I'd say Nick told him to carry out through spring, finish a semester, see how things worked out in spring practice, and they'd probably talk again.
Cecil, you've been covering the program for a long time. You remember when a top 10 recruiting class was a big deal. Are Alabama fans getting a little numb to how consistently dominant Nick Saban is when it comes to recruiting?
Probably a little bit. But he's created that. I can remember when the probation years, you were just trying to find 15 guys sometimes to fill in. And so I don't know if numb is the right word because the great thing about recruiting, there's always something for somebody to complain about, right? You're not going to get 35 kids. And so there's always one that you didn't get that you think Saban should have signed. And so I think they met their needs this year. It'll be interesting. I'm more in the Nick Saban camp of, let's see in 2 years than I am of necessarily the ranking camp.
Cecil Hurd is with us on the Bud Light Hotline at Cecil Hurd on Twitter, TideSports.com, Tuscaloosa News. If there was a need because of defections to the NFL, it was on the defensive front. And lo and behold, Cecil, a lot of people are saying is the best defensive line class Saban has signed and one of the best maybe of all time.
It's certainly, if you look at the numbers, that's relative. How great was Nebraska's defensive line recruiting the year they signed Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. I don't know who the other guys were, but they signed Ndamukong Suh. that's the question that you have is are you going to have a – now, you have a better chance of finding Ndamukong Suh or Aaron Donald or a player like that if you sign 6 4-stars, or a 5-star and 5 4-stars or however all that worked out. In the end, they've got guys who are extremely highly rated, guys who have really high potential. We'll see with some of them. I think Ishmael Sopcich has a extremely high top end. We'll see how his weight and conditioning and so forth go. But it was a need. They had gotten thin, and I don't know that anybody absolutely saw that Quinnen Williams was going to blow up the way he did this year and leave early. So it was really a need, even with Raekwon coming back. Now you've got Raekwon, you've got LeBryan Ray. You've got some guys who can work in there. You got Christian Barmore. You've got some guys that can work in there. And you would like to see a couple of the freshmen play.
Sopcich from Louisiana, and that was a big get yesterday, as you write inside your story at TideSports.com this morning. It was a big piece to the puzzle. Are you still really blown away at how Nick Saban is able to go to Louisiana and get such big athletes over LSU because it has been so long since he was the coach there?
Well, that's not the only part of it. He does have some relationship, but I don't think Ishmael really remembers when Nick Saban was the coach at LSU.
No. You know, yeah.
Now, if you're a prospect now, Nick Saban's really never been anything to you except to coach it at Alabama. But I thought Ishmael really had a lot of pressure. LSU had made that because it was Nick Saban. That had been a year-long thing, and I thought they were, you know, there wasn't much drama on signing day, and you know, there wasn't a Landon Collins situation or something, and the Sopshires were very respectful, and the people at Ameet High School greeted him well. I would like to have seen something more like, you know, a little drama, a little spice on signing day. If Ishmael's brother Rodney had dressed as an SEC referee, and then Ishmael reaches for the hat and he grabs the LSU hat, and Rodney throws a penalty flag and acts on his cell phone like he's talking to somebody in Birmingham, and then Rodney takes the mic and says, the call's been reversed, and then he put on an Alabama hat.
Then you got the billboards. Cecil
would have been some solid trolling.
Cecil Hurd is with us.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, they didn't. At Cecil Hurd on Twitter, Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com. He's on the Bud Light Hotline. Moving on from recruiting for a couple of questions here.
Uh-huh.
If you could get out the Cecil Hurd crystal ball, I know it's early. I don't know if you've uncovered that one yet. And tell me what's going to happen with this coaching staff. Now that signing day is over, it doesn't appear that the musical chairs are all set.
Well, I think they probably are, and Nick just hasn't, announced. Yet, I think you can go back and work backwards for guys who no longer are where they used to be, and they are in Tuscaloosa. And so it's now just a matter of him saying, this coach is going to have this assignment. You know, some of them are obvious. You know, Sark's going to be the offensive coordinator. You assume Pete Golding's going to be the defensive coordinator, although he hadn't specifically said that, and you get into Coe's, and you know, they had co-coordinators last year, and so I think that Nick wanted to wait until after signing day to announce all that. I would think it would be sooner rather than later, or else we're just going to go out the first day of spring practice and start figuring out who's who, you know, one or the other.
Quickly to basketball, I know there's been inconsistencies this season. But sitting at 14-8, 5-4 in league play right now, Lenardi's got them a last four in. Is this team a little bit better than we thought they would be?
They're better than they were picked, probably in the preseason. They've got some potential. You know, I didn't think their energy level was great in the first 10 minutes last night against Georgia. Didn't get anything really because of foul trouble from Dante Hall. Didn't get a big game from John Petty, and still scored 89 points. In an SEC game last night. So, you know, they've got some potential. You saw what Mack and Lewis can do offensively. So, you know, better. It depends on where your expectation level was. But the SEC seems to have kind of split. You know, the bottom four is pretty well defined, and the top 10 teams are pretty good. And Alabama's in that mix. You know, not in that there's a top tier that Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, somebody else could make a move out. You know, Auburn probably could make a move out and get in that top group. Then there's a middle group, Ole Miss, State, Alabama, that are pretty good and have a chance at the NCAA because the league's going to pull them up a little bit. So I'm not a February bracketologist. You know, there is no February bracket. You know, they're all imaginary. But you can gauge whether they're keeping their chances alive, whether they're giving themselves an opportunity. One way you do that is to win your league home games that you should win by 10, 12 points. So that's what they did last night.
He is Cecil Hurd, Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com, also on Twitter at Cecil Hurd. Cecil, thank you very much. Always fun talking with you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right, take care. Cecil with us on the Bud Light Hotline.
Follow Ryan Brown on Twitter and Instagram @RyanBrownWJOX.